Welcome to the Ultimate Lifespan Podcast with Buck Risby, bringing you the latest in evidence-based but often controversial approaches to natural health and wellness with less stress. Plus, healthy advances for slipping into your ideal weight while looking and feeling younger than your years. Sprinkled with surprising stories, expert interviews, and plenty of irreverence for the status quo. If you're ready to take charge of your health and finally feel in control, buckle up and enjoy this next episode of Ultimate Lifespan.
Hey folks, Buck Risby here, another episode of the Ultimate Lifespan Podcast. This episode is called Your Immunity and Why Waiting for Your Ship to Come In is Hazardous to Your Health. The story begins with a get-together with a neighbor of mine. He is about 20 years older than me, retired Coast Guard, his name's Steve, and he's lived in our neighborhood for 40 years, since the houses were built in this neighborhood. And as we sat down and shared a beer on his front porch, we talked about a number of things, and some of them were related to health. One thing in particular is how what he's doing to boost his own immune system, including some of the recommendations that I had given to him previously on how to get enough sunshine, expose his skin to maybe 20 minutes or so of the midday sun, and taking supplemental vitamin D, vitamin D3 in particular. And he had actually cut out an article on the health benefits of vitamin D and had that waiting for me before I arrived. And I was really, really happy to see that. It reminds me of a science fiction series that I'm reading right now called Altered Carbon. In fact, there was a Netflix series produced on based on the same title by Richard K. Morgan. And the lead character of Altered Carbon is Takeshi Kovacs. I'm mispronouncing that name. But the concept in that story is that everyone at birth is outfitted with what's called a cortical stack. It is a memory stick, if you will, that's affixed in the spinal cord of every human being. And it records everything. It records their memories. It records their, not only their memories, but their soul. And it enables them to have lives that extend beyond the capabilities of their own bodies. In fact, their bodies have become what are called sleeves, and you can actually change sleeves like many people change shoes. And the reality is we don't live in the world of Altered Carbon. We only have one sleeve. So that kind of leads me into the main core of my talk today. Part of this has to do with what we're hearing right now from health organizations during this current pandemic. Health organizations like the WHO, the CDC, state and county health departments. And those messages coming from those health organizations, they have limited tools in their toolkit, at least from what I can tell. They're talking about social distancing, wearing masks, hand washing, and lockdowns. Really those four things. And you probably would agree, you know, every time you read the news headline, watch something on TV or the internet, that's one of the four things mentioned: distancing, masks, hand washing, lockdown. And the subtext of these messages really is, and sometimes it's not subtext, it's actually blatantly stated, is hold the fort and wait for a vaccine that may or may not work. Wait for a solution, a medicine that may or may not work. And I think by and large, people are expecting that to be a vaccine. What's missing from this story is something that is publicly aware. It's public data. According to the NIH, 300,000 preventable deaths a year are attributed to the obesity epidemic. But this has happened every year. And what's worse is that this data from the NIH, that's 1999 data. That means we, in 20 years' time, it has certainly gotten a lot worse. So 300,000 preventable deaths a year due to the obesity epidemic. That kind of led me to want to dig deeper. You know, what's behind this? Why are we not up in arms about the obesity epidemic? Something so preventable, something that we could, put edicts down and enforce certain activities and things like that. Not that I'm saying that, you know, that's what should happen. We should prevent us from making our own decisions. But I'm just surprised that people are not up in arms about it. And I noticed that companies, so major corporations like Mars Inc., for example, how many of us have had M&Ms? All of us, come on. We all know what M&Ms are, Snickers, you know, those are the candies of our youth. Well, M&M Mars is a private company, and they make Snickers, M&Ms, and Skittles. If you had to guess how much revenue Mars Inc. by themselves bring in, you probably would guess low. They generate $35 billion in annual sales. As such a mega corporation, do you think that they are motivated to protect their profits? Of course, everyone wants to protect their profits. And if they primarily get their revenue from candies, such as Snickers, M&Ms, and Skittles, they're gonna make sure that nothing prevents them from generating profits, from selling those candies. So, you know, and look, I'm a big fan. I love M&Ms. I'll eat Snickers. I love Snickers, as you know. So this is not an anti-M&M talk. But what's interesting is that Mars, as a single company, and they're family owned, they're privately held, but you know, look, the people in the family are making sure that, you know, their profits are protected. They're spending millions each year lobbying Congress around their decisions centered around nutrition advice and food policy. Right? It makes sense. They're on the books spending millions. Now, these are right now single-digit millions for just this one company, Mars Inc., but they're spending those millions, and it's documented, making sure that congressmen and women are supporting their desires through nutritional advice and food policy. So what are the ripple effects of that? Well, number one, companies want to make money, so they're going to protect their interests, right? It goes without saying. We all can kind of shake our head yes and say, yeah, that makes sense. I agree with that. You know, number two, those companies like Mars are going to spend money to influence government through lobbying, okay? They have the ability to lobby, and they do. And they're also going to influence media. They're going to elicit the support of media through their ad budgets. And look, we all see the ads. If we're in the United States, we see those ads for M&Ms. We see them on the Super Bowl ads. We see them on TV and on internet's websites, etc. So we're very, very, you know, that's just ingrained in who we are. We're used to seeing advertisement from big companies like that. But what happens is there is a cascading ripple effect on people's health, a big cascading ripple effect. So let me give you an example of what might happen when a company, and I'm not just pointing the finger at Mars, but this is just one example. Well, there's this thing called the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, and it is updated by the government, by the U.S. government, every 5 years. So we're currently in the cycle where the 2020 to 2025 guidelines are currently being updated. Who do you think has right now the ear of the folks that are making policy, that are making decisions of what's going to go into the Dietary Guidelines for Americans during this cycle, during this five-year cycle? Well, I can bet dollars to donuts, to use that term, that Mars Inc., with their $35 billion in annual sales and millions spent lobbying, has a finger in the pie, right? They have a dog in the hunt. They care about this, and they're going to make sure that nothing too crazy happens in the dietary guidelines that would have Americans not want to buy their products. Okay? That, again, you probably nod your head. Makes sense. I agree. I totally get it. And circle back and remember what I shared with you about the 300,000 preventable deaths a year due to the obesity epidemic that's currently underway. It's been underway for over 20 years. That takes me to another type of company, or I'll call them companies for now, drug companies. Remember how I mentioned that, you know, Mars as a single entity spends just millions, single-digit millions every year lobbying U.S. Congress? Well, drug companies, they are in the catbird seat. They are in the leadership position of companies that spend money as a whole to lobby Congress. Hazard to guess how much they spend every year lobbying the U.S. Congress? It's over $150 million. They are They're double the size of the next nearest industry when it comes to money spent on lobbying. They're the top lobbying force in Washington. And you can verify this for yourself by going and checking out the data on opensecrets.org. So I was flabbergasted when I saw that. If you think about what I said about ripple effects and, you know, how a food company, in this case, makes candies, might want to make sure that policy changes are made with things like dietary guidelines for Americans, that all Americans are affected by, our school children are affected by, and decisions are made about what foods are purchased and fed to our children in public schools. And that is going to, do you think that might have some impact on the current obesity epidemic? Absolutely, right? It goes without saying. So I just want to, you know, kind of sort of pull back the curtains, open your eyes to this, and understand that, you know, these companies are doing what they're programmed to do. They're run by people that are motivated to make sure those companies are profitable. They're making money. That's the way. If you're a drug company, you make money by selling drugs. If you're a candy company, you make money by selling candy, right? You don't say, oh, I'm going to stop being a candy company and become a car company, an electric car company. Maybe I'll compete against Tesla. No, probably not going to happen, right? They're not ready to make that switch, that pivot. So these companies are going to do what they've always done, and they're going to protect their interests. And the best way they have to protect their interests is by lobbying our government officials. So that comes back down to where I started. Is, you know, if we're taking what these government officials say, the WHO, the CDC, the state and county health departments, et cetera, many of them are either, directly are placed as a result of being voted into positions. But regardless, you know, big companies can assist officials in getting their positions and making sure they get their desires met. So, you know, I'm going to recommend that we be aware of what's going on and know that our health suffers if we don't take charge. It's vitally important for us to take charge, okay? And I'm saying it's not okay to be overweight, eat whatever you want, and then simply rely on government entities for health advice. We can't do that for the reasons I just stated with the U.S. dietary guidelines that are updated every 5 years. Come on, we know that those are influenced by big corporate interests that don't always have our health interests at heart as the number one priority for them. The other thing I'll say is you only have one sleeve. If we want to take the idea, the concept from Altered Carbon, that book of fiction, science fiction, we only have one sleeve until we have a cortical stack that can be swapped into a different body and we can upgrade whenever we want. We got to take care of the one we have. And that goes without saying. So I'm going to share with you a pretty simple immunity booster plan, because we don't seem to be getting the immunity plan from these government health officials. Again, they're kind of using the tools in their toolkit, talking about distancing, masks, hand washing, lockdown, and wait for that ship to come in, which is there's going to be a drug. There's going to be a vaccine. It's going to work. We promise. Okay? But look, they might have some influence being put on them by big corporate interests. If we know that drug companies spend way more than anyone else on lobbying, then they certainly have some kind of influence on what the media and what some of these government health officials are telling us. With that said, my immunity booster plan is actually pretty basic. And you can Google this, but I'm going to recommend that you go check out the Weston A. Price Foundation's dietary guidelines. So you can literally Google Weston A. Price Foundation dietary guidelines, or I'll have a link to this on the show notes for this episode 10 of the Ultimate Lifespan podcast. Just go to ultimatelifespan.com, click on the podcast link, head over to episode 10 and you can grab the resources for this podcast. You can also take the gut quiz that I have there. You'll definitely want to get find out where you fall in the spectrum on your gut health. But check out the Weston A. Price Foundation's dietary guidelines. It includes things such as eating. And by the way, these guidelines, they were published 20 years ago as well, but they still are absolutely relevant today. They include eating whole, unprocessed foods, you know, taking Some supplements, they recommend cod liver oil as an example for enough vitamin A and vitamin D in your diet. You know, it says you can use whole grains, legumes, and nuts, but they have to be prepared by soaking them and sprouting them so that they have less of the anti-nutrients in them, something called lectins, and there's some other anti-nutrients that are generally found in whole grains and legumes. That's something my wife practices all the time. She's a holistic nutritionist, and so she knows that. She was trained on that, but not all of us know there are certain ways that food, such as grains and legumes, have to be prepared for us to take full advantage of them. Using filtered water for cooking and drinking, that just, you know, makes sense. It also talks about natural food-based supplements, and a big one, getting plenty of sleep, exercise, and natural light. Wow. Mind-blowing, right? These are the dietary guidelines, but these would also be your immunity guidelines to practice today going forward. Get enough sleep, exercise. Now, I'm going to tweak that by saying you should exercise 20 minutes plus, you know, over 20 minutes, but make sure it's an activity that you really enjoy. I enjoy going for a walk. I enjoy doing my spin bike routine on using the Peloton app, but you might enjoy something totally different. You might enjoy tennis or a walk in nature or something else, but just make sure it's at least 20 minutes and you do it regularly and you enjoy it. The natural light bit, that kind of gets back to the conversation I had with Steve, you know, the retired Coast Guard neighbor that I have down the street. And, you know, he's looking so tan. He's taking my advice. He's taking his shirt off each day when the sun's nice and bright during the midday, getting his 20 minutes a day of sunshine and really boosting his own natural vitamin D production. But one thing I recommend is it's probably not a bad idea if you're not able to do that, to top up your own D levels by taking 2000 IUs of vitamin D3. So if you can't get the midday sun, take the 2000 IUs of vitamin D3, cholecalciferol is what it's called technically, and that would give you a sufficient amount of D3 to help boost your own immune system. And here's a big one, and this is right here in the dietary guidelines for Weston A. Price. The last point is think positive thoughts and practice forgiveness. Wow. I mean, that, talk about a stress reliever, talk about asking and practicing forgiveness. You think about somebody you want to reach out to, talk to, forgive, just, you know, let it go. That's a great one and a very powerful one. So, and I'm certainly working to take that to heart myself. Now, I'm going to recommend another tweak to the Weston A. Price dietary guidelines, and that is to supplement. Even, you know, it's hard for us to hit all, and there's 20 different points here in the guidelines, but it's hard for us to hit them all. Right? So I'm going to recommend that you do supplement with, especially in this day and age of needing to focus on immunity, zinc, taking 15 milligrams a day, typically of something like zinc picolinate is a good example, and to take enough vitamin C. Now, I recommend a minimum, I personally take a minimum of 3,000 milligrams of buffered C a day. And I might spread that out over the course of the day. Maybe take, you could take one tablet three times a day, or, you know, one in the morning, a couple at night. You choose, however, you know, what your frequency would be. But 3,000 milligrams total of buffered vitamin C will have a number of health benefits. Some of them I talk about in my health, in my heart episode of Ultimate Lifespan Podcast, which you can check out later. But I think with those things, one, follow the Weston A. Price dietary guidelines. Augment that if you need to with an extra 2,000 units of vitamin D3, supplement also with zinc and buffered C, and, you know, get that exercise. I know it talks about getting exercise, but get that 20 minutes of activity, but make it something you really enjoy, and that's a big one. And you know what? Like my friend, if you do those things, like my good friend Steve down the street, you know, if you do your own homework and never wait for your ship to come in when it comes to your good health, you're going to live a long, healthy life, and you're going to beat the odds. This is Buck Risby with Ultimate Lifespan Podcast. I'll see you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today on Ultimate Lifespan. Head on over to ultimatelifespan.com for full recaps of every show, our controversial but educational blog articles, and to take our ever-popular 30-second health assessment quiz. See you at ultimatelifespan.com.